Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. You know, his word tells us great shalom have those who love his Torah and nothing will cause them to stumble. This week, we're going to be talking about the story of Purim. So we're going to be going a little bit through the story of Esther, not all of it, but we're going to be going through a good part of it, telling the story of Purim this week, because we will be celebrating Purim here in a few days. So let's start here in Esther chapter 3, and we're going to start with verse 2. It says, "And all the king's servants who were at the king's gate bowed down and paid homage to Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai did not bow down or pay homage. Then the king's servants who were at the king's gate said to Mordecai, 'Why do you transgress the king's command?' And when they spoke to him day after day, he would not listen to them. They told Haman in order to see whether Mordecai's words would stand, for he had told them that he was a Jew. And when Haman saw that Mordecai did not bow down or pay homage to him, Haman was filled with fury." So I want to pause here in this story for a moment. Now, Haman had been given basically the highest rank under the king. And part of his rank was that the king had commanded that people would bow or pay homage to Haman as he walked through the gate. Now, Mordecai had a dilemma. He was a Jew, and part of being a Jew, or as you could say, being a person who was walking in covenant with Yahweh, and one of the commandments that was given unto them was they were to worship no other person other than Yahweh. So Mordecai was not going to bow to Haman because he was in covenant with Yahweh. He was not going to do that because in order for him to do that would require him to walk outside of covenant with Yahweh. So when Mordecai is asked, "Why are you not bowing to Haman?" his response was, "I am a Jew." So basically what he's saying is, it is against my religion, as we hear so many people say today. It is against my religion. You can say it is against my beliefs. It was against Mordecai's covenant relationship with Yahweh in order for him to bow down to Haman. And Mordecai chose not to fit in with everybody around him, not to do what was easy. He was willing to take a stand and say, "I don't care what people say. I don't care what the outcome may be because of it. I don't care what this king here says. I'm going to do what has been instructed and commanded by my God to do, because I'm walking in covenant with him. My number one priority is to serve him and to do what he has commanded me to do. And we're going to face times, especially as we progress more towards the end, where we're going to have kings and there are going to be people who are going to rule and make decisions that are contrary to the word of God. So then we are going to find ourselves in the same situation Mordecai is in here. We're going to have a choice to make. Are we going to bow down to Haman? Are we going to bow down to the decrees of man that go contrary to God's word because it is convenient or it is easy and we're afraid to stand out? because by Mordecai refusing to do what the king told him to do, he stood out. Remember, what does the Torah do? The Torah separates us from people. And it's especially going to separate us from the people of this world. And when we choose and make a decision to walk in God's commands, it is going to put us at war with some of the commands of the men of this earth, of some of the kings of this earth. Because the darkness of this world is at war against the law of God, against his Torah. It does not want to submit itself to God's word. It does not want to see people submitting itself to God's word. This world is ruled by Satan himself, and his desire is for people to follow his way, his decree, not to follow God's way, not to submit themselves unto God's Torah. So he is going to bring along the Hamans in this world who are going to put decrees out there that are against God's word. And when we as God's people choose not to follow in his decrees, but instead stand up for what is righteous, stand up for God's Torah, and submit ourselves to his Torah instead of to Haman's decree, Haman is going to hate us. He is going to be filled with fury. So let's see how Haman responds to the fact that Mordecai would not bow himself to him. Let's look at verse 6. But he disdained to lay hands on Mordecai alone. So as they had made known to him the people of Mordecai, Haman sought to destroy all the Jews, the people of Mordecai, throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus. In the first month, which is the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast pur, that is, they cast lots, before Haman, day after day, and they cast it month after month till the 12th month, which is the month of Adar. Then Haman said to King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the peoples in all the provinces of your kingdom. Their laws are different from those of every other people, and they do not keep the king's law, so that it is not to the king's profit to tolerate them. So Haman's response was not just to hate Mordecai, but to hate all the Jewish people. Now, we do not know if the Jews as a people chose to stand up against the king himself, or if it was just Mordecai who stood up against them. But because of Mordecai's reaction, or because of Mordecai's response to Haman, Haman chooses to hate all of the Jewish people. And what was the thing that he said to the king? Their laws are different than ours. And that is true. When we walk in God's law, our laws are different than the laws of the people of this world. There will be decrees that the kings and the rulers of this world will make that will be contrary to God's law. And God's people, God's true people, those walking in covenant with him, will not keep the king's law when it comes to disobeying God's law. So Haman sees the issue. And so his desire is to go after all of the Jewish people. He tells the king, this does not profit you. You should not tolerate it. Basically, you need to destroy these people. This is where it's going. Okay? But it's interesting. Like I said, one person's actions spoke for what all of God's people were supposed to be doing and what they stood for. That is the power of one person. That is the power that you can make when one person chooses to stand for what is right. Mordecai chose to stand for what is right, and it showed unto Haman how the Jewish people were different from everybody else. How they would not bow their knee to another man or another god other than Yahweh. So that talks about us as God's covenant people. We as God's covenant people should not bow our knee to another man, and we should not worship any other god. We should not follow any decrees that are against God's word. We should have the boldness to stand in that which is righteousness, to walk in covenant with God. Mordecai is showing us what it means to walk in covenant with the living God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Let's look at verse 13. Letters were sent by couriers to all the king's provinces with instruction to destroy, to kill, and to annihilate all Jews, young and old, women and children, in one day, the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, to plunder their goods. So the decree goes out to the country that on the 13th day of the 12th month, which is Adar, that all the Jews, no matter if it was a child or a woman, if they were young or old, all the Jews, they were to be killed. They were to be wiped out. That was the decree put out. Because, as we read in the story, one person chose not to bow his knee. And so Haman saw that the Jewish people, you could say, were not easily tamed. They would not just easily do anything they were told to do. And so because of that, they were to be put away, to be wiped out. Now let's look at Mordecai's response to this letter going out. And we're going to see not only Mordecai's response, but even the Jewish people themselves, as they learn of this letter and they read of what is in this letter. So let's look at Esther chapter 4 and verse 1. When Mordecai learned all that he had done, Mordecai tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went out into the midst of the city, and he cried out with a loud and bitter cry. He went up to the entrance of the king's gate, for no one was allowed to enter the king's gate clothed in sackcloth. And in every province, wherever the king's command and his decree reached, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting and weeping and lamenting, and many of them lay in sackcloth and ashes. It's interesting. Mordecai's response upon reading the letter was not to go in hiding. In fact, Mordecai puts on the clothes of fasting. We read in verse 3 that the Jews themselves went into great mourning and they were fasting. Mordecai doesn't go into hiding, but Mordecai is going, I would say, on the attack. Mordecai chooses to walk in covenant with God and not bowing his knee to Haman. Now he is going to respond, as we see, as we read, calling upon his covenant with the Almighty, with Yahweh. He goes to the king's gate because who is there? Esther. He has a plan. He has something that he is going to do to combat the enemy. How are we going to combat the enemy when he chooses to attack us? When Haman comes our way and we choose not to bow our knee, what is going to be our response? How are we going to respond? We can learn from Mordecai and the Jews by what they did. What did they choose to do? They fasted. By fasting, they entered into spiritual warfare against the enemy, against Haman. That is how we are going to defeat the Hamans of this earth. Number one, we have to choose not to bow our knee. And number two, we have to be willing to fast. And we're going to see here that it wasn't one person who fasted. It wasn't a handful of people who fasted, but it was all the people of the Jews fasted. They joined together in unity and fasted for a common purpose. So let's look at verse 9 here in chapter 4. And Hathach went and told Esther what Mordecai had said. Then Esther spoke to Hathach and commanded him to go to Mordecai and say, all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that if any man or woman goes to the king inside the inner court without being called, there is but one law to be put to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter that he may live. But as for me, I have not been called into the king these 30 days. Mordecai's response, his plan, was to go unto Esther and to call her to go unto the king and to plead on behalf of her people. And we see here by Esther's response that in order for her to go in front of the king and to plead on the behalf of her people, it could cost her her life. It was a risk that Esther was going to have to take in order to go before the king. Esther and the Jewish people and the natural eyes look to be in a very tight and hard spot. It looks as if they are in a spot where they are defeated. But Mordecai does not give up. Mordecai has the tenacity of a bulldog in this story. And what causes Mordecai to have this tenacity? And I believe it is because he knows the God in whom he is serving. He knows that he is serving a covenant-keeping God, and he knows who he is in relation to this God. He knows that he is God's chosen people. He is the apple of his eye. And because he knows he's the apple of his eye, he is willing to stand and take chances because he knows that he is beloved by Yahweh and that Yahweh is going to keep covenant. So even though it may cost Esther her life, Mordecai does not say, oh, don't do it. But Mordecai's response is totally different. And let's read that here in verse 12. And they told Mordecai what Esther had said. Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, do not think for yourself that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Mordecai's response is, do not think that you will save your life by not going before the king. He is basically telling her, you have been put in this position for such as this time. You were given favor over all the other women by Yahweh himself, so you would be in this position for this moment in time. That is how our God works. He will orchestrate things in our life to put us at a certain place at a certain time so that we can carry out a certain purpose for that moment in time. And a lot of times he is orchestrating these things and they are putting in them in place and we don't know why, we don't know what's happening until the time comes. At this moment in time, Mordecai knew this is why you were chosen to be queen. And if you choose not to do the assignment that you are given, then God himself will raise a deliverance and a relief from the Jews from another place, from somebody else. God is going to deliver his people because he's faithful. So if you choose not to do it, he's going to find another vessel. You and your father's house will perish. Something to think about. When he has called you for a thing and he has put you in a place to do something, if you choose not to do it, he will raise up another vessel. But woe unto the one who chooses not to do it. Mordecai had full belief and expectation that God was going to deliver his people. That is what the story of Purim is about. It is about deliverance. God showing his faithfulness unto the Jewish people. And we, as believers in Yeshua, are his chosen people. We have been grafted into believing Israel. And he is going to bring deliverance unto his people. So as the days get darker and as the days get harder, we can have the faith and the expectation of Mordecai, knowing that he will bring relief and he will bring deliverance unto his people when they choose not to bow their knee to Haman. Now let's look at verse 15. Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, go, gather all the Jews to be found in Susa and hold a fast on my behalf. And do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my young women will also fast as you do. Then I will go to the king, though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. So even though Esther is queen, she listens to the wisdom of her uncle. And she asks them to fast. So she calls a fast of all the Jews to fast for 3 days and three nights. And Esther and her young women are going to fast as well with them. And then on the third day, she's going to go to the king, even though it's against the law, and plead her case, to plead the Jewish people's case. And if I perish, I perish. She is now willing to lay down her life if necessary in order to stand up for God's people. But they chose to fast. They're entering into a spiritual warfare, into a spiritual battle. They're fighting the enemy before she goes before the king. May we learn the importance of prayer, of spiritual warfare, and fasting, because we are going to need it as we approach the end of days. Now let's look at Esther chapter 5, and we're going to read the account of Esther going before the king. On the third day, Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace in front of the king's quarters. While the king was sitting on his royal throne inside the throne room opposite the entrance to the palace. And when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court, she won favor in his sight, and he held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. Then Esther approached and touched the tip of the scepter. So she found favor with the king. The fasting worked for Esther and the Jewish people. And the king said to her, "What is it, Queen Esther? What is your request? It shall be given you, even to the half of my kingdom." And Esther said, "If it please the king, let the king and Haman come today to a feast that I have prepared for the king." So she goes before the king. She's not pleading the case for the Jews just yet. She's inviting him to a feast that she has prepared, in which at that feast, she's going to plead her case for the Jews. And as she goes before the king, it says that she won favor in his sight. So she had his favor. The Jewish people choosing to come together and fast, and Esther choosing to be obedient to what her uncle Mordecai was telling her to do, set her up to be in a place where she could have favor. And God gave her that favor with the king. She found favor with him when she was chosen to be queen. And now she has found favor with him once again when it comes time to plead the case of her people. Again, that was the very reason why she found favor with him in the first place is so she would have favor at this second moment in time. God knew what was coming. And so he had a plan in place to save his people. God knows what's coming in the days ahead. And he has a plan to save his people. Now let's look at Esther chapter 7 and verse 9. And now we're jumping to the place to after she has had her feast with both the king and with Haman. And she has found favor with the king. And the Jewish people's life has been spared. And now Haman is now in a place where he no longer has favor with the king, because he is the evil one who chose to try to wipe out Esther and her people. Esther chapter 7 and verse 9. Then Harbona, one of the Enochs in attendance on the king, said, "Moreover, the gallows that Haman has prepared for Mordecai, whose word saved the king, is standing at Haman's house, 50 cubits high." And the king said, "Hang him on that." So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then the wrath of the king abated. Haman had become so angry with Mordecai. He had built these gallows and he was planning on hanging Mordecai on these gallows. But God twists it around. Mordecai finds favor with the king. His life is spared. And when you go on to read the story, Mordecai pretty much takes over Haman's spot. Mordecai is given the king's signet ring, which once Haman had. And now the gallows that Haman had built for Mordecai to die on, now Haman is going to die on the very gallows that he had built. The enemy was defeated in this story because God's people didn't run in fear. But when the bad news struck, they mourned and they fasted. And two people was brave enough to stand up against Haman. And one of them was willing to risk her life to go before the king in hopes and expectation that she would find favor with the king. That is why the story of Purim is important, because God's word repeats itself. The things that we see in this story, we will see again. God's people are going to face Haman's again. And we need to be reminded of the faithfulness of God. We need to be reminded of the fact that he will deliver his people. He will bring a relief unto his people. And we need to be willing to be as Esther and Mordecai, willing to take a stand against evil and to take a stand for his righteousness and not to disobey God's law, and to be willing to risk our lives when the time comes in order to bring relief unto God's people. Well, I hope that you have a wonderful Purim as it approaches. And may you remember the goodness of our God, the faithfulness of our God, that we are in covenant with him. We are his chosen people. We are the apple of his eye. And as we walk in covenant with him, he will bring relief to us from the Hamans of this world. And we will watch our Hamans hang on the gallows that they had prepared for us. Well, hallelujah. Thank you for joining us for this week's teaching. And we will be back again next week with another teaching. So come back and join us, and shalom, y'all.